According to the fullness of times, of the word, the testimony, the covenants and the cleansings, God has given his servants and prophets meals to serve his people, that darkness in men might be destroyed. Behold, the Lord's table is laden with meals to build a generation of overcomers. From this table comes the ministration of grace from God's servant. Listen and be blessed.
Father, we thank you. Thank you for this time. We receive you. Father, we receive you. Thank you for the words that came forth. And thank you for this one. Let this be an addition, Lord. Let it have a place in the lives of your children. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your work in this place. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. In case you don't know what it means to overcome, the literal meaning is very sweet. Very, very sweet. And PJ told us, thank you, PJ, for laying it down. The whole business is that God have an inheritance for us, like he said. And the inheritance is himself, his things. Abby? Then why can't we just take it? Abby? I'm stretching forth my hand. Why can't they just take it? No. It's not that straightforward. If there is no obstacle, there will not be any need to overcome. Like I said, the literal meaning, overcome. There's something ahead of you. There's something that is being presented to you. But in between, there is something preventing you from getting to it. Very simple. I was looking through my notes. It's like this year's theme is sequel to 2023 theme. The armies of the living God. You can't overcome without fighting. You can't overcome without fighting. The life of an overcomer is a life of a soldier. You war. The overcomers. It's a company of people. You should be enlisted. You should be part of them. I should be one of them. Like Reverend said, it's not everybody. And I put it here in my notes. This is a life. It's a journey. It's a process to become an overcomer. And it's not everybody. If you are not born again, just put yourself somewhere and get born again. Give your life to Christ. Then begin to journey to become one of the overcomers. If it's a company, then we should be mindful that it's a company. Our company. When they released the apostles in Acts chapter 4, he said they went to their company and reported everything that they did. This is a company, a group of people. Like we already heard, you could be in church and you are not in this group. If you have not given your life to Christ, give your life to Christ. Enough of your debate. You start by believing. You believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. As you keep learning, you see the inheritance as painted to us by Pastor James. And when you see this inheritance, you consciously, I hope you heard what I said, consciously decide to put yourself. It doesn't drop on you. You don't just become victorious. I want to jump from here to where Pastor Henry is. Will these two pastors allow me? Will they allow me? Will they not allow me? It will have to be by force for me to get there. If you want to become an overcomer, it's not a sweet life. It's not a Jalenka Christianity. Hallelujah. I want us to know that you will have to defeat the opponent. And we know who the opponent is. This team is not the kind of team that we used to have in those days. So light has been shed on this. It's like, God, what am I saying? I've sat under ministrations of the overcomers how many times, and yet it's as if everywhere is just scattered. It's not that simple. The life of the overcomer, you will defeat the opponent. But like Reverend said, he that is the opponent doesn't want us to know that he's the opponent. He rather pitch you against your husband and pitch you against your wife and make you to see like your brother, your sister, your biological brother or sister in the church is the trouble. If I were you, I would stop fighting my wife from this moment. You have someone that is not interested in you becoming who you should become. The two of you. And maybe you alone. It's not that you're a church member. Yes. The question is, what of the human beings that act as enemy? He's using them. And some of them submit themselves to be used. To be so used as an enemy. If we live our lives as a believer, and we cannot see these things that we are going to hear these 7 days, may those words not stand up against us. Because the words are being spoken, and they must have meaning in our lives. Problems, difficulties must be dealt with. We must prevail over the opponents. Every time you are at a crossroad, try and look for what is happening. See the enemy, not the one that has two horns. He will not present as the enemy with two horns and a long tail. No. Hallelujah. Amen. Christians, we are at war. We are going through wars. War to become who we should be when the enemy is saying we cannot become. How many times have you thought, oh, I've moved forward? Like we're talking of conversion. You thought you had moved forward only to find out, oh, I have not moved at all. What I thought I had overcome, I've come over it. It has now come over me again. How many times? Until it is no longer there. Until it can no longer come over you. That is when you have overcome. If we are not in a battle, he will not say, be strong in the Lord. Give me Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Why is he putting this one there? He knows that what he wants for us, what he wants for us is so great. But somebody is always jealous. and wants what we want. And he knows he will never get it. And he wants to prevent you. He wants to prevent me. Put on the whole armor of God. If I'm coming now and I appear like this man, what will you do? Eh? You will say, Mama, I've gone nuts. Let's carry her to a psychiatric hospital, have you? God will not say, put on the whole armor of God. Brethren, we need to stand. Let's read this verse together. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of who? Not your sister, not your wife, not your husband. We are at war. And the only reason we are at war is that he doesn't want us to have what you should have. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This one is strengthening it again to tell you. It's not the person, it's not a human being that is your enemy in this issue. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The reason we are not going to pray the way we should is because of these people. Because when you pray, when you read the Bible, when you hear the word of God, there is a higher height to get into in attaining what God wants you to attain, and he doesn't want it. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's see another verse of scripture. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are what? To the pulling down of strongholds. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He didn't say stronghold. Strongholds. Pluralized. Which means there are so many strongholds. But they must be what? Pulled down. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Where the battle is not physical. The greatest battleground that you have is your mind or your heart. That is where he will convince you. You cannot attain it. You cannot do it like this pastor. You cannot do it like that pastor. You cannot be that person. You cannot be whom daddy says you should be. You cannot be what the message says you should be. Where is it? Imagination. Casting down image formation. The weapon that God gave us is to cast down what? Image formation in you. And every high thing, can you imagine, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is being given to you through his words. When you want to catch it and let it become a part of you, he brings his own image formation. He forms his own image in you and gives you another version. And if you are foolish enough to follow his version, you can never arrive where God wants you to arrive. Look at it. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Thoughts will produce the image to be formed in us. So, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ and having in a readiness to revenge. This is the verse I fear most in these short verses of scripture. Having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Let's read the next thing together. So it doesn't just work anyhow. My own obedience is required. So these verses of scriptures will work for me as I engage in the battle to overcome. When my own obedience is fulfilled. So if I'm going to overcome, if I'm going to be successful in this race, my own obedience counts. That is what that place is saying. Hallelujah. Then in James chapter 4 verse 7, it says resist the devil. If there's no trouble with the devil, will he say resist the devil? He won't say resist the devil. I have a part in it. It doesn't fall on me. It doesn't just fall on me. I have a part in it. I have a part. We've seen one. When my obedience is complete. Another one is this one. Resist the devil. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Which means I can do it. Are we getting me? I can do it. I can do it. I submit myself to God. Submitting myself to God gives me the grace to be able to resist the devil. Amen. And what does he do? He will flee. Have you seen somebody that is fleeing? If you have not seen somebody that is fleeing, may you not see someone that is fleeing. No. Yes. If you see someone that is fleeing, have you seen somebody that is naked and is running? And that person is fleeing. And the devil will flee from you. He didn't say he will run away. Hallelujah. Amen. I want us to see some other things. The seven churches, the message to the seven churches. If this issue of being an overcomer is not very important, why should every church have it? It was part of the message to all the seven churches. All of them. Revelation chapter 2. To the very first church, he that hath an ear. There are two things I want to take together here. He that hath an ear. Each time I see here, H-E-A-R, I see ear in it. You don't have an ear, you cannot hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Like the first three or four churches, he that hath an ear came first. Hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, there is always a reward for being an overcomer. For all the churches, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto their churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt in the second death. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. So on and so forth. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give the power over the nations. All of them, they have it. He that have an ear. What does it tell us? I want to be an overcomer. I must keep hearing. I must what? I must keep hearing. I must have an ear. He's not talking about this physical ear. Your inner ear. You must hear it. You must hear it. Pastor James also talked about hearing. You must hear it. You keep hearing. You keep hearing. You keep hearing. You are old. You keep hearing. Hallelujah. So all the churches, all of them, I want to talk a little bit about the war that is in us. Romans 7:23. Let's hear. What is he saying? He says, there's another law. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. There is a law in me. Where the enemy walks in my life is where? It's inside me. Not in any other person. Then let's see James chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. James chapter 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Which members? Members in the church? No. Members, this what he's saying, they are in you. They are what is in me. My members that he's talking about, they are what is in me. Your members that he's talking about, they are what is in you. Eh? These fightings can never allow us to inherit what we should inherit. They are there, getting ready to throw off. Whatever is coming to you, they are there to throw it off. Hallelujah. Then let's see 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Where is the soul? Is it outside? Can you see my soul? It's inside. And there's a place in the Old Testament that says, guard your heart, keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it comes what? The issues of life. Most times we care about our physical than we care about what goes on inside us. If God should open my heart to you, will you not run? If God should open your heart to me, do you want God to open your heart to me? Go, Pastor Dixon. There's a lot going on in our soul, in our heart, and that should not be revealed. But that is what the enemy is using. So keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's look at Jesus, our example. In preparing for this message, I see Jesus in Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh. I want us to know that Jesus is our example. I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. So, which means it is possible. Everybody say it is possible. I overcame and I'm set down on my Father's throne. That throne is for me. That throne is for you. We are supposed to get there. Jesus is our example. I want us to see the temptation of Jesus. After that temptation, please give me Matthew 4:11 and Luke 4:13. I want us to see. Then the devil delivered him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Luke 4:13. The devil left him for a season. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for how long? A season. The devil left him for a season, which means what? He came back again. He came back again. And when did he come back? Let's go to Gethsemane. Luke 22:40-42. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Ha! And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We need to get to this place many times. What do you think was going on here? Why was Jesus praying this prayer? The problem with us is that most times we are deceptive. Even when we are before God, we are not opened enough. God is telling you, bringing some things to your notice, and you are arguing with him. Most times we evade his instructions. We water down the instruction and we obey another one. What was Jesus going through here? It was the devil. Maybe he was telling him, do you think you can do it? You better don't go. Better don't go to the cross. Don't go to the cross. You don't need to go to the... Do you think the devil wanted him to go to the cross? Maybe he wanted him to go. He thought he could wipe him out. But when Jesus was here, This one was a crossroad. Many times we are here in Gethsemane. If thou be willing, remove this cup from me. May we always say, nevertheless. May we always get there where we say, nevertheless. May we always not argue with God. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. He knew what God wanted of him. If he had not gone to the cross, do you think we would have had what we read from Revelation chapter 3? We wouldn't have had it. He overcame. He seated on the throne, and we too, we can sit on the throne. And then he says, nevertheless, not my will but thine. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. What are we saying here? There's always a grace that comes on you. When you get to the place where you choose what God wants, there's always a grace that comes on you. Now, I want us to see the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. What kept the heroes of faith? What kept them were the words that they heard. Every one of them heard words. What kept Moses? Moses heard he was not an Egyptian. What kept Abraham? Abraham heard from God. What happened to Rahab? Rahab heard what the Israelites did to some other people. We must hear words because that is what will keep us. And you must endure. Everybody say you must endure. Say it again. I must endure. No matter what you are going through, you must endure.
We believe you have been fed by this inspiring ministration from God's servant. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our special meetings? You can join us every Wednesday for the special teaching series by 6 p.m. or on Sundays by 8 a.m. online or on-site at Eternal Life Embassy Assembly around you. For inquiries, call 0704-921-2074 or 0703-395-8818 or visit www.femeli.org. Remain blessed.